Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, chapter entitled Elements of Material Creation, text number 54 and 55. Yatam vasa prachalata taravo pi chala eva chakshusha Brahmyamanena Drishyate Brahmativabhu Yatambasa Prachalata Taravopi Chala Iva Chakshusha Brahmyamanena Drishyate Brahmativabhu Yatambasa Prachalata Taravopi Chala Iva Chakshusha Brahmyamanena Drishyate Brahmativabhu Yata as Ambasha by water, Prachalata moving, agitated, Tarava trees, Api indeed, Chala moving, Eva as if. Chakshusha, by the eyes. And Brahmyamanena, which are being turned about. Drishyate, appears. Brahmati, moving. Iva, as if. Bhu, the earth. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The soul's material life, his experience of sense gratification, is actually false, O descendant of Dasharatha. Just like trees' appearance of quivering when the trees are reflected in agitated water, or like the earth's appearance of spinning due to one's spinning his eyes around, or like the world of a fantasy or dream. Translation responsibly. The soul's material life, his experience of sense gratification, is actually false, O descendant of Dasharatha. Just like trees' appearance of quivering, when the trees are reflected in agitated water, or like the earth's appearance of spinning due to one spinning his eyes around. Or like the world of a fantasy or dream. Purport. Trees appear to be swaying when reflected in agitated water, and similarly, when one is sitting on a moving boat, the trees on the shore appear to be moving. When the wind whips up the water, creating waves, the water appears to have movement of its own, although it is actually being moved by the wind. The conditioned soul in material life does not perform any activities, but rather the material body, with the consent of the illusion living entity, is being moved by the modes of nature. One imposes this external movement upon oneself, considering oneself to be dancing, singing, running, dying, conquering, and so on, although they are merely interactions of the external body with the modes of nature. Amagyan, Timanandasya, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurin Munitam Yena, Tasmai, Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya, Manobhishtam, Stapitam, Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swab, Dantikam, Vansha Kalpatu Rubyascha, Kripa Sindubi Evacha, Petitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadha, Sri Vasadi, Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the Bhagavatam has already explained to us back in the second canto that this material world is a dream, meaning that everything that we experience in the material world, we relate to it as if it is factual, but actually it is a dream. And so you can't put it back to Prabhupada. You have to somehow work it out. So it appears to be factual, but just like when you're dreaming, then you're thinking that that is factual also. But then when you wake up, the whole thing, you understand it to be something which it is not. It is not actually reality. So in the same way, Maya means that which is not. In other words, we think this is real. We think we are experiencing everything in this material world. But actually, when we begin to wake up, we realize it is a fantasy, or it is an unreality. It is an illusion. But the illusion is very powerful because it is created by Krishna himself. Daivi Hiesha and Gunamayi, Mama Maya, Jirachaya. So Daivi means divine. It is coming from God himself. So because it is coming from God, then Mama Maya is created by him himself, his illusion, then it is very powerful, most powerful. So powerful that we think it to be real, although it is actually a dream or just a temporary state of consciousness. Just like there are many powerful magicians. The most famous magician is David Copperfield. He's the most famous of all the magicians. So one time I saw him on television, and there was an elephant, and he brought it out onto the stage. And then there's people sitting in every direction all around him, and there's this elephant there, and the elephant's real because it's trumpeting and doing the whole thing. I mean, it was an elephant, a big one. And then he goes, he gets this curtain, and like the curtain goes up and it comes down within about 1 second, just goes like this, and the elephant's gone. And everyone, I mean, you could see the audience, they were amazed. I don't know how he did it. You know, I don't think anyone there knew how he did it either. But it happened right in front of me. And it was obviously, everyone knows, okay, he did it somehow. You know, he's not magic. He didn't just go when the mat and the elephant disappeared. Everyone knew that it was an illusion, but it was an excellent illusion. Right? But we know that it's not real. But Krishna's illusion is so powerful. Krishna is even better than David Copperfield, that you're in the illusion, but you don't even know that you're in the illusion. That's a good illusion. All right? At least if there's an illusion, and then you know, okay, that's an illusion. I've got no idea how this guy did it, but it's an illusion. All right? But when Krishna does it, it is so good that you don't even know it's an illusion, but you're in the illusion. That's how powerful Maya is. You don't even know you're in Maya. You think this is real. You think everything you're experiencing in this lifetime is real. You think this is you. You think you are who you perceive yourself to be when you look in the mirror. You get up in the morning and you see yourself and you think, that is me. Right? But that is not you. Now, that is an illusion. That is a temporary designation. It's just a suit that you've got on this lifetime. You take off the suit, that's it. It's not you anymore. Just like when I was in high school, then we had a fancy dress party, so I went as a gorilla. You know, because that's my nature to always do it, you know, to go one better. like that. So all my friends, everyone dressed up in their costumes and everything, fancy dress party. We all went to the fancy dress. And then I came in a gorilla outfit, right? So it's just an outfit, right? It's not who I am. Although my wife sometimes says different things. But it is not who we actually are. It is just a temporary designation. You know? It is something that we are for a short period of time. Then we take off the suit, and then we are back to who we normally are. So similarly, we have this designation, upadi, which is on us at this point in time. So we look into the mirror, and we think, that is me. You think that is who I am. That is reality. But this is just a designation, which is temporary. And even this so-called reality, it changes. You look at yourself when you were 7 years old, and then 14, and then 21, and then 28, and then 35, and then 42, and then 49, and then 56. And you look at yourself every 7 years, and you're completely different. Like that. So it is changing right before your eyes. But still, this is the power of the illusion, is that even though it's even changing in front of your eyes, but still you think it's real. You think, that is me. And it's not you. You're totally different. Your body that you had when you were 7, your body that you have now that you're 40, they're two totally different things. Don't look the same, don't speak the same. The mentality is different. The mind's desires are totally different. But still you think, that is me. That is the power of Krishna's illusion. So, it's being described in the Bhagavatam, from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. It is being described that everything that we're experiencing is simply a dream. It is not reality. And the entire point of Krishna consciousness is to wake up from the dream, to wake up to the reality. What is reality? No, reality is when you walk up those steps. If you have Brahminical initiation, you can walk up those steps, you can walk in, and that is reality. Reality is standing there in front of us. This is Mayapur, this is Vrindavan, this is Jagannath Puri. This is reality. In Nectar of Devotion, it is described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's five very powerful ways to render devotional service to Krishna. One of the powerful ways is called Mathura Vas. Mathura Vas means residing in the district of Mathura, Mathura Mandala. So, Prabhupada points out in his commentary on Rupa Goswami's teachings that we have to begin to see Mathura, or you can say Vrindavan, or Mayapur, or Puri. You have to begin to see them as your home. Just like when you close your eyes and you think of your home, what do you think of? I say, do you think of your home? What do you think of? Where is the place that you're attached to, that you feel comfort? Where is that place? Where is your home? So for devotees, it is Vrindavan. We think, this is our home. And when we're not in Vrindavan, when we're not in Mayapur, we think we are just traveling, preaching, serving, and then soon we'll go back home. I try to go once a year to Mayapur, Puri, Vrindavan. And then when you get there, you feel like, now I'm home. And then we come out. Because Prabhupada said that Prabhupada set the example that even though he was 70 years old and at a time when people retire, he left Vrindavan to go and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So that's why we leave Vrindavan. Because sometimes when I go to Vrindavan and I'm about to leave, I think, why am I leaving? Why would you leave? This is Vrindavan. What reason is there to leave? Okay, the only reason we leave is because Prabhupada left. And because Prabhupada left, we're all sitting here right now. If Prabhupada had not left, none of us would be sitting here. The world would be totally different. The world probably would have succumbed to nuclear devastation by now if it wasn't for Prabhupada leaving Vrindavan. So Prabhupada left Vrindavan. This was the mood of the founder Acharya. One time, one of the Mataji's, she was a book distributor, she said to Prabhupada, it's a little bit difficult because as women, we're supposed to be chaste and we're supposed to be shy, supposed to develop these feminine qualities, and yet then we're told we have to go out on book distribution. We have to be very aggressive. in order to sell Prabhupada's books. So then they said to Prabhupada, then what do we do? Because we feel like we're a little bit schizophrenic. They didn't say that, but that's how it is. Like one time, when you're in the temple, then you have to act one way, and then you go out and you have to act an entirely different way. So it's difficult. So Prabhupada said, be like a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So when you're in the temple, you act like a lamb. You're very quiet, very submissive, chaste, and Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur said the devotee should be quiet and obscure. That's what Vaishnavas are like. A nice example is given in South India, that devotees are like salt. Why are devotees like salt? Yeah, that's good. What'd you say? Same thing, yeah. Devotees are like salt, because by a devotee's presence, everything becomes more tasty, more pleasurable. But you cannot see it. Right? This is what salt is like. Salt is that one item in the cooking, when you're cooking savouries, right, that you cannot see it, but if it's not there, right, the flavour does not become enhanced. So devotees are like salt. You don't see devotees, they just stay in the background. They don't try to be prominent. They don't try to be like turmeric or like here in the temple, garam masala. Or, some of these devotees need to learn how to cook. If you want to learn how to cook, come to Nyan Underground, we'll teach you how to cook. Because we eat normal prasadam. Sometimes you come here and I don't know what this spicing is, but it's just, it's very strange sometimes. Too much of this and too much of that, and just like that. And then, what's the whole? Anyway, I won't go into too much here. the chili pasta. What's that about? Like pasta doesn't have chili in it. It's not even one of them. You go to Italy where they invented the stuff. There's no chili in pasta. And then you come to the temple and it's like, you have this chili pasta. And it's like, if you want to put chili in something, go and put it in your sabji or whatever you want to put it in. Make the pasta authentic. At least for those of us who enjoy having authentic cuisine. If you want to have your chili on the side or something. For those of you who want to add the chili. Anyway, you won't do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But so, the salt is very obscure. Salt is not prominent, meaning that this is what a devotee is like. A devotee is not looking for a prominent position. A devotee likes to be quiet and obscure, but by the devotee's presence, everything becomes sweeter. Everything becomes more flavoursome. Everything becomes more relishable. That is a devotee's way that a devotee behaves and acts in this world. So Prabhupada said, when we go out and preach, we should be like a lion. That means we should be aggressive for Krishna. Prabhupada said this, you have to be aggressive for Krishna. If you want to distribute books, then you have to be aggressive. Aggressive doesn't mean you grab the people. They're walking down the street, just grab them, put them on the wall, and say, "You're going to take this book or what?" Doesn't mean like that, but it means you have to be a little bit. You have to be a little bit forthright, right? If you're distributing books, you have to take control of the situation. So that is the way a devotee has to behave in order to preach. One time, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami was giving a lecture. They organized a program in Moscow, in Russia, and on the poster they said, Boy George is coming. Because Boy George is a devotee of sorts. So he came for this program that the devotees organized. So the devotees hired a football stadium. And they said on the posters all over Moscow, Boy George. Hare Krishna festival, Boy George. So 30,000 people came. Right? 30,000 people. Big football stadium, right? And Boy George, it was about a 3-hour program. Boy George came on for the last half hour. Like that. So that's the way we do things. That's what we do. That's good, actually. Like that. So we got them there, and everyone had to go through 2.5 hours of Krishna consciousness. So Sachinandan Swami, he had to give a lecture to 30,000 people. So imagine, if we said to you, next week you have to give a lecture to 30,000 people. So what would you do? So what did Sachinandan Swami do? He rang Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Picked up the phone, he rang Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he said, Maharaj, he said, I'm going to give a lecture tonight in front of 30,000 people. What do I say? Right? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, whatever you do it like a lion. That's all he said. He said, whatever you do it like a lion. Right? This is how we spread Krishna consciousness. Right? You look at Prabhupada. Prabhupada was a lion. He was a general. Right? He just marched across the earth, right? And fought with all opposition that stood in front of him. Prabhupada was not timid in any way, shape or form. There's one time Prabhupada was at Mumbai when we were having our battle to get the land at Juhu, and the devotees said that there were some men there, they were Sikhs or something, they had turbans, I can't remember, I think they were Sikhs or something, and there were some business guys, and Prabhupada was having some interaction with them at the time, and they said that Prabhupada owed them money, so they came down, they're like big guys, they came down to Juhu to see Prabhupada to get the money, and Prabhupada was leaving to go to the railway station to go to another city with his devotees. So they came down, they were yelling at Prabhupada, where is that money, and like this, like that. So Prabhupada was yelling back at them, because obviously Prabhupada was not going to, they were obviously trying to cheat Prabhupada or overcharge him or something. Prabhupada would not be stood over. So Prabhupada was yelling back at them. So Prabhupada went and got on the rickshaw, and he told the rickshaw driver, okay, cello. And the guys are like following behind him, and they're saying, yelling at him, Prabhupada's yelling back at them. Like this, you know, like Prabhupada's 70, you know, 72. So anyway, they get down, so they all jump on rickshaws and they all come down the railway station. So then Prabhupada goes and gets on the train, and he's sitting there on the train, and he's sitting there, and the window's there, and these big Sikh guys are standing there at the window yelling at him through the window, and Prabhupada's yelling back at them. Like that. And then the train's taking off, and they're coming down the platform yelling at him, and he's just yelling at them. And then they all, you know, the train went. And then Prabhupada just, he became very composed. Prabhupada was very composed. You know, he could handle any situation. That was Srila Prabhupada. Right? He was just like a lion. He was just fixed in spreading Krishna consciousness. And he would not let anything intimidate him in spreading Krishna consciousness. So we also have to become like our founder Acharya. When we go out and preach, then we must become lion-like. And we must become courageous for Krishna. Not intimidated like that. Ready to take risks to spread this movement. So Prabhupada told us, be like a lion at home, but be like a lamb. Sorry, be like a lion in the chase and be like a lamb at home. Now, Prabhupada teaches us in the Nectar of Devotion that when we think of our home, then we think of Vrindavan. And we stay in Vrindavan in our consciousness all year round. Right. Even when we cannot be in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami says that if you cannot physically reside in Vrindavan, then in your mind, in your heart, you should always be in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, in Puri. This is our consciousness. The devotee always thinks of Mayapur, of Puri, of Vrindavan in one's consciousness. Right? This is our home. And this is waking us up from the dream. Because at the moment, we dream. Just like you have a dream, you think somewhere else is your home. You think, God, this is my home. Just like last night I stayed at Chaitanya Prabhu's place. So I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked around the room and I thought, where am I? Because when I sleep at the farm, where I sleep most of the time, then I wake up and I look around and I say, oh yeah, I'm in the ashram. So then, last night I woke up and I looked around and I thought, where am I? Yeah, this does not look familiar. And then after a few moments, I thought, oh yeah, okay, this is where I am. I'm in Melbourne. I'm not at the farm. So it is like a type of illusion. we forget where we actually belong, where our actual home is, and we identify with something else. We identify with a temporary home. We think this is our home. I live here. I'm from this country. I'm from this place. Now I'm from this particular city. But this is not the way a devotee thinks. A devotee in his mind is only thinking, Vrindavan is my home. Mayapur is my home. Puri is my home. And that's how we think. And we think wherever we are, we're just preaching. We're just here temporarily. It's a temporary situation. And while I'm here, I'll preach and I'll assist Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness. So that is how a devotee develops his consciousness. And this is Krishna consciousness. This is reality. This is waking up from the illusion. You don't think that the temporary place which you reside is reality. Just like sometimes, or for the materialists, they get very involved in their temporary home. You see, when they buy a house, what do? What does everyone do on the weekends around Melbourne? Right? They decorate their house. Right? What's the busiest place to go if you want to go somewhere on the weekend? Where's the busiest place? Right? Bunnings. Right? What does everyone do on the weekend? Work hard like a dog all week. So then you can go to Bunnings and you can buy pot plants to put on your house. So everyone walks around Bunnings for 2 hours looking for the right colour pot plants. Right? And then you all go home and then you set up your house and that's your reality. Because why do you set up your house so nicely? Because you're going to live there forever. Well, that's how people think. I'm going to live there forever. So they treat it all like it's going to be a permanent reality. You know, you put palm trees there, right? Get a jacuzzi out the back, get your little pool like that, and then set your house up in such a way, put the helicopter pad on the roof, right? Just make it nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer, and then die. Right? It's a very intelligent way to use your time, isn't it? Just like the example is there, just like you get on an Indian train and you're going from Calcutta to Delhi. It takes like 21 hours if you get the express train. So you spend all night sitting on the train doing up your apartment, your little carriage, right? And you make it all totally comfortable, right? Change all the decor, rip everything out, throw it out the windows, right? Make it all really nice. And then when you get to the end, when you get to Delhi, then Srila Prabhupada explains that then the conductor comes and says, okay, now it's time to get off the train. You say, what do you mean off the train? This is my apartment. No, it's not yours. Right? It's just somewhere where you're temporarily traveling through. It's just a temporary residence. Now you have to leave it like that. So this is the way we are in this material world. So devotees should not take things so seriously. You know, we have a house and the house should be nice, because then when other people come who we're trying to cultivate in Krishna consciousness, there should be a nice situation. I think all the devotees live in a nice material standard. And they'll become attracted. They think, oh, I can also live like this. I'm like middle class. My guru, Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he used to say, devotees should be like middle class. You know, not too opulent, not too much in poverty, just like middle. So when people come to our homes, they think, oh, this is nice. I can be a Hare Krishna. If it's too much poverty, if there's not enough material facility, people think, I can't live like this. If it's too opulent, then people will think, oh, this is not spiritual. These people are just too materially inclined. So devotees, we have to be paka, but we should not be too much absorbed in the material energy. Just like the way devotees dress. You know, devotees should dress so they look attractive to the public. Right? We should wear nice clothes. Just like you see when Indradyumna Swami does his preaching, he says all the Madhijis have to wear silk saris. Right? So you wear nice clothes. Whenever people see devotees, they think, oh, devotees dress very nicely. We should not be too renounced. In our heart we may be renounced, but in terms of how we dress for the public, then we should dress very appropriately. We should look respectable. Do you ever see any pictures of Srila Prabhupada where he does not look respectable? You don't see Prabhupada always looks respectable. He doesn't look opulent, but he looks respectable. This is the way Prabhupada would dress. This is the way devotees should be when they are in the public eye. It's preaching, because it reflects on our movement. So devotees should not wear odd coloured socks. This was the Hare Krishnas in the 1970s. Our movement was famous. Right? To be a member of our movement, you had to make sure your socks did not match. Right? You're not allowed to go on Harinam if you had matching socks. Right? It's not good preaching. Right? It makes us look very strange. Right? Of course, these days people wear unmatching socks. Now, it may be fashionable, but it should not be that devotees are seen to be unorganized. It doesn't give a good impression. Just like when our movement first came to India in the 1970s, then in the Indian Parliament, they were saying, because Prabhupada brought all these dancing white elephants. Prabhupada brought all these Western devotees when he first began the movement. So then in the Indian Parliament one time, they were saying, we think the Hare Krishnas are actually the CIA. Right? They've actually come to, they're acting like the Hare Krishnas, but they've actually come to spy on us. Because all these Western people dress up like devotees like that. So then one of the politicians, he said, that's ridiculous. They can't be the CIA. He said, you just ring their temple and they can't even pick up the phone. And until recently, when we got receptionists, then now we actually pick up the phone. Because we have to make it a service for one devotee. Okay, you sit here and you pick up the phone. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Just like I used to live in the ashram when I was living in the Brahmachari ashram for 8 years. And then my mother would ring and to leave a message, say, I want to speak to Keshava. And I say, okay, he's not here now, we'll give the message. And then after a year or two, then she used to say to the people, she said, are you actually going to give this message to this guy or not? Because most of the time people would ring and you'd never get the message. Like, you know, I'd find out about a month later, someone would go, oh, your mother ring. So this is very disorganized. This doesn't make our movement look very attractive from the outside. For Krishna consciousness to spread, we have to become the best at everything. It means the Hare Krishnas should be the most organized. They should be the most socially together. Just like some of our devotees are sick at the moment. So what happens when the devotees are sick or the devotees are going through something? And some of our devotees are going through very difficult circumstances at the moment, physically. So, just like one Mataji, she's in hospital at the moment because she's pregnant and she's having some problems. So they've put her in hospital. So the other devotees, they've organized to take prasadam to her every day. Right? This is proper social behavior. This is what Prabhupada expected in our movement. Not that someone becomes sick in the ashram, and everyone just leaves them in the ashram and no one comes to see them, no one comes to see if they're okay, no one comes to see if they need any special dietary requirements like this. This is not proper. This is not appropriate. So if we have that kind of... if that's how we are within our movement, people will not stay and people will not be attracted to come to our movement. So our movement has to become the best in every way. Right? Socially, we have to be the best. We have to be successful. In all of the ashrams, people have to see ideal examples. They have to see stability within the Grihastha ashram. Not marriages that are ending in divorce. Just like by 1972, Srila Prabhupada stopped arranging marriages in our movement. He wouldn't arrange the marriages anymore. He said, I'm disgusted. He said, you arrange it. He said to the temple presidents, he said, you arrange it. He said, I will not arrange it anymore. Because devotees would get married, have a big ceremony, big jagya, right? Everyone would, you know, dress up, put all the flowers all over the place, put all the fruit around the jagya pit, throw your banana in, and then 6 months later, then break the contract. Right? So Prabhupada became disgusted with that. So that kind of culture, if that is seen within ISKCON, it will not attract people to our movement. Right? This is for the non-devotees. So we have to overcome our material inebrieties or our material defects which we are bringing with us from our past. We have defects which are there in our past, but those things have to be overcome so that we can set a proper example for the world. Right? So when people come to our movement, they say, oh, the Hare Krishnas are very well organized. Right? They're very pukka. They live in a very materially satisfying way. Not too opulent, but they have a nice situation. And people become attracted to our movement on every level. So this is what Prabhupada envisioned for our society. Not that our society is just a disorganized, hippie-like organization like that. That will only attract a certain caliber of people. But if you want to attract people from all levels of society, particularly people who are materially well situated, then we also have to be materially very together like that. So that is our it's our mission to make ISKCON the way Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada said, I've given you the framework, now you fill it in. Just like one astrologer one time said about Prabhupada, said this person will build a house in which the whole world can live. Prabhupada could build a house for the entire world. And when Prabhupada left this world, he said, I've built the framework, now you fill it in. So Prabhupada gave us everything. Now we have to complete the project and make all of the details perfect, as Prabhupada would have liked, so that we can make that offering. So at the end of our life, when we're breathing our final breath, then we can say to Prabhupada, okay, Prabhupada, I did this for you. This was the service that I rendered you. Please accept it. And then if Prabhupada accepts it, then that's it. Right? Then that's perfection. And where do you go? Then you'll go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada will come and he will take you to Vrindavan. Your spiritual master will come and will take you to Vrindavan, to Mayapur. And then you can live there forever. You don't have to come back ever again. You can forget about Singapore Airlines. You don't have to worry about going and coming and going and coming. You don't have to worry about getting a Tata Sumo. There's no Tata Sumos in Krishna's pastimes. When Krishna wants to go from Mahavan to Kamyavan, because Kamyavan's on the western side of Vrindavan and Mahavan's on the eastern side of Vrindavan, so if you want to go from there to there, then you've got to get a Tata Sumo. You've got to drive. It takes 3 or 4 hours to get from one side of Vrindavan to the other. Right? But Krishna doesn't do like that in his pastimes. You don't have to worry about all those problems. There's no pollution in the spiritual world. There's no... all the negative things are not there in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is self-sustaining. Is the perfect ecological situation. There's no pollution. There's no waste. There is no rubbish tips. There's no pollution. There's no garbage everywhere. Yeah, the spiritual world is perfectly organized already by Krishna. All you have to do is just go there and serve Krishna. If you agree to do that, then you can go and stay. You don't have to come back again. So we'll stop there and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. You've seen on the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, there is the lotus, like that. So the lotus closes, like that, and then Krishna can move wherever he wants, very quickly, and then it opens up again, like that. So if he wants to get from one side of the planet to the other, then the lotus closes, he can just go there in a few minutes, and then it opens up again. So that the planet is Krishna conscious. The planet, the whole Goloka planet, is an expansion of Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram's mood is to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So the whole planet facilitates Krishna's pastimes like that. So that is the situation. Baladev Purnima is coming soon like that. It's on a Tuesday. Usually I give class on a Tuesday, but I'm going to be in Mawalambar, so I can't give class on that particular day. And Julan Yatra is the 5 days before Baladev Purnima. That I won't be here for that either, which I'm feeling. I hope they have a nice festival in New Govardhan, because Melbourne's Julan Yatra Festival is the best festival in the universe. I haven't seen a festival as good. You go to the other where are you from? From Sydney?
South Africa.
South Africa. What sort of Julin Yatra they have there?
Hey?
What sort of swing festival they have in South Africa? Okay. Since you came here. Okay. Yeah, in the other temples, usually the deities sit on the swing and then you get a little rope and you pull them back and forth. But in Melbourne, then we actually
swing.
Yeah, Radha and Krishna actually swing. So it's ecstatic. Yeah, it's not the same when you just do the little. Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's nice. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm saying it's nice. But, you know, I just feel like just putting the rope down and just. Like that. So I don't know what they do in Wollongong, but I haven't been there before, so I'm hoping they're going to have a nice swing like that. Anyway, all of you will be here, so you make sure you come every night and swing Radha and Krishna. This is the spiritual world. Radha and Krishna come off the altar and they perform Julan Yatra, swing festival. In the spiritual world, they do this every day. This festival is every day in the spiritual world. Actually, we can do it here every day too, but for some reason we only do it 5 days a year, so make sure you don't miss out. Get the opportunity to swing them. Like that. And then the final day is Baladev Purnim, which is very ecstatic. That's maybe next week I'll give a Baladev Purnim class, because I'm not going to be here on the actual Baladev Purnim. Any other question or comment? Okay. Shall I provide a key?